Hello, and welcome to the Sapona Road Church podcast. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we are excited that you've taken time to join with us as we hear from God's Word. We exist as a church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope that today's message encourages and blesses you and helps you to grow and mature in your walk and relationship with Him. The word of the Lord is powerful and life-changing, so let's see our lives transformed as we listen to today's message.
So, I've got Heather with me today to bring a message to you, and so they say that when you're reading books about preaching and things like that, they tell you that one of the most important things is your title, that you need to have a good title to catch people's attention. And so we think like we've come up with a good title. This probably will be your most favorite title of any message you've ever heard. So Jonathan, you can put it up there. So our title for the message is "You Are Awesome." And if you don't like that title, something's wrong with you. It might not be very spiritual, but... So that's what we want to talk about, and you are awesome, but what we're talking about is the born-again you. We talked about it last week with the exciting new you, and we just thought it'd be good to follow up with that. And then Jill decided to start using my scriptures this morning when she was opening, but that's okay. She was reading a different version, so it'll be all right. So I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and we used the scripture last week as well. But it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, Father, we just thank you for this time together, God, and we just thank you for your word. We just ask that you bless this message and open our hearts to hear and to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I don't know if you've thought about that or not, but a lot of people are so hard on themselves, and we all have things that we need to fix, but the born-again you is awesome. And so we want to talk about that a little bit today. Well, the other parts of you are pretty good, too.
The born-again you is awesome. The rest of us kind of...
needs a little work. But other than that, you're doing... You get the point.
So, Aaron, when you just have such good worship and you just, you know what I mean? Like, you want to settle in. Anyways.
Sing a song.
I guess so. getting back to the message, it seems like most of us as Christians, we believe that the only thing that really changed when we became born again is our destination. It's our future. Going to heaven instead of going to hell. And that is a wonderful promise that we have when we are born again. And not to discount that, because that's everything, but it seems like because that is what we think is the only thing that happened, our focus is off, and our thought process is off about it. And even though the change of destination, where they're going, heaven instead of hell, is the focus, it seems like we still live our lives like we're not even sure of that. It seems like we're constantly trying to prove that we have earned God's love, or that we're worthy of God's love, or we just want to hold back his wrath, you know, because that's, if we really thought about what we truly think about the Father, what do we think of him? Do we think that he's just full of wrath, and our actions just are completely what's going to hold that back or not? It's all in the way that we think. We shouldn't be trying to live holy just out of a fear of rejection or punishment. That's really never going to work. We're going to end up super exhausted. We should be living holy as a result of our salvation, but because of a desire for more of him, because he says, "I'm holy." So we want to be like him, and to be like him just kind of draws us closer to him. That is really what our motivation should be. In Matthew 3:17, this is the part in the Bible where Jesus himself is being baptized. Most of us are probably familiar with that passage in the Bible. And, you know, John came as a precursor to Jesus. And so he's baptizing in the river, and then he sees Jesus and he gets the opportunity to baptize Jesus. And God spoke these words over him. It says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" But think about this. When God spoke these words over Jesus, Jesus hadn't even started his ministry yet. He hadn't opened a blind eye. He had never raised the dead. He had not performed a miracle. But that is the important part about Jesus saying, or God saying, "I am well pleased in him." Before he had even done any of these things, he was pleased with Jesus, not because of anything he had done, but because of who he was. And if you're anything like me, I have constantly strived, like I have that in me to want to strive to be perfect. Because if you're perfect, then that means you're worthy of affection from whomever you're trying to get affection from. If you're perfect, then that person will never leave you or forsake you. Because you're going to be too good for someone to do that to, right? So if you're like me, this verse takes so much pressure off. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. If you are a son and daughter, if the living Christ lives within you, the pressure is off. It's gone. You are worthy, and he is pleased in you just because of who you are.
Yeah, nothing I'm getting ready to say gives us an excuse to be lazy or gives us an excuse to live a life of sin. But living holy doesn't make God love us more. Yeah. It doesn't change the way God feels about us, but it does increase our love for him. And it's the same way with a lack of holiness in our lives. A lack of holiness in your life doesn't make God love you less, but it will decrease our love for him when we live that way. See, God's love for us, it doesn't change. It's perfect. He loved us even when we were still sinners. He loved us. It's a perfect love. But our love for him can change because our love is not perfect. And so I'm going to try to explain that a little bit. The Bible tells us that we're to love God how? With all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And a lot of times we neglect that last part. We're fine following feelings, but sometimes we don't want to just believe what the Word says and what it has to say about God. There are a lot of people out there, they'll tell you how much they love God with their heart, but they do not love him with their mind. They couldn't be loving him with their mind, or they wouldn't be living the way that they're living. Mm-hmm. And here's how it affects us. We don't want to say that our love, my love toward God, the way you live affects the way you love God. Yeah. It's just a simple fact that people don't want to accept. And it's that way with all your relationships. When I was, you could say living in rebellion, I was not doing what mom and dad had taught me to do growing up. And so from about 18 to 21, I gave them a fit. And during this time, my mom and dad never changed. The way they felt about me never changed. And in fact, I loved them with all my heart, but I wasn't loving them with my mind the way that I should. And so what began to happen is I didn't go around my parents as much as I used to, which is hard to believe because I live beside them now and see them all the time. But I didn't go see them that much. I would ride by their house and not pull in. Nothing had changed about the way they felt about me. What had changed was the way that I was loving them. They still loved me the same. And see, that's what happens with, you all right? That's what happens with people when it comes to the Lord. The enemy doesn't just come in and say, "Hey, why don't you go do this horrible, sinful act?" The enemy just gets you to do a little something, tempts you with something, and then when you commit that act or you act on it or you just think on it long enough, he's trying to get control of your mind so you won't love God with your mind. And if you don't love God with your mind, what begins to take place is that you start not wanting to be around him as much.
Yeah, and the thing about that is that it doesn't usually start, like you said, with a sin. Sometimes it just starts with the question, will this or won't this hurt relationship? That's usually how it starts.
Yeah, because the enemy knows that you're going to have troubles that don't even come from him. And what he wants is when those troubles happen, you turn away from God instead of turning to God. And that's what a lot of people do because they're not loving God with their mind. So when Heather said I should tell my story. It had gotten to the point, I didn't go there very often, and this was over a short period of time, but during that period of time, Easter fell during this period of time, and I go to see my mom and dad one day, and they have got this beautiful picture. Some of you heard this story. They got this beautiful picture, and it's my mom and my dad and Jill and Michelle and Monty, and I think Roger was born then. I think Roger's a little baby in the picture. And they're all dressed up, and I mean, they look good. So apparently, I was not going around so much. I didn't even go to Easter service with them that year. And so I said, oh, this picture's really good. When did y'all take this? Well, my mom, instead of just saying, oh, we took it at Easter, she accidentally says, oh, yeah, we just all got together and did a nice family picture. And she got family pic, and then she stopped and caught herself. And I said, it didn't hurt my feelings, but I couldn't let her get away with it. So I said, Mom, you got a family picture made and didn't call your only son to be in the picture? How was I not invited to the family picture? And she's stumbling over her words, and my dad's in the background laughing. And I'm just, Mom, I can't believe you would do this, Mom. I can't believe, and I'm just on her and on her. But it just goes to show you the disconnection that was taking place by people who still loved each other with all our heart, but it wasn't there in the mind. And so my mom called me a couple of days later, and she said, Aaron, I need you to come by the house. Me and your dad need to have a talk with you. So I said, okay. So I go to the house. I walk in the back door, and my mom has gone through the house, and every picture in the entire house, she's put a picture of me on top of it. Everywhere I look is a picture of me smiling. Well, kind of smiling. I didn't smile a whole lot for pictures back then. I was too cool for that. But everywhere's a picture of me from a little kid all the way up. And she just wanted me to know how much she loved me. And the truth was that I loved them with all my heart. Anything that would have happened, if they needed me, all they had to do was call me. I would have been right there. Nothing had changed on that. But I was not loving them with my mind. As soon as I got my mind right, that reconnection was back. It never left our hearts, but there still was a disconnect. And I think that a lot of people, a lot of good Christian people, that's how they're living their lives. And you've probably said this or heard somebody say it. They'll say, oh, don't judge me. God knows my heart. Have you heard that one? You can't, don't judge me. God knows how much I love him. He knows I love him with all my heart. Well, okay, you love him with all your heart, but it's also obvious that you're not loving him with your mind, or you wouldn't be living the way that you're living. You wouldn't be distancing yourself from him every way. You know, it wouldn't take so much to get you to come to church. It should take a lot to get you not to come to church, but that's not what's happening with people. And they get real offended by it, and they'll say, now, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does know your heart, but he also said you're supposed to love him with your mind. And it's important. See, we are to go after the Father. And I actually said this to I get in lecture tone a lot with our kids, and so when I tell one, I call the other one and tell them the same lecture when I get done, just in case they need it somewhere down the road. And I had talked to Stephen, and so I called Hannah, and I said, I think when I talk, so it drives Heather crazy sometimes, because I'll just rattle and rattle. But I was having this thought about the way people are, and there's a lot of miserable people in the church. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. There's a lot of people that are just not happy. There's a lot of people that are miserable in the world. And we're not supposed to be miserable in the church, but a lot of people still are. And so I was just thinking about that, and I thought about kind of what Heather was talking about with people. Everything's heaven and hell. That's all they think about. We're called to go after the Father. It's supposed to be about going after relationship. And so this is what I told Stephen and Hannah about choices they make in life. I said, if you just try to not go to hell, you're going to be a miserable sinner. And if you just try to make it to heaven, you're going to be a miserable Christian. I said, but if you'll go after the Father, that's the key to peace and to joy and to fulfillment in this life, is going after a genuine relationship with God. Not just trying one of those other two. That's not going to get you, that's not going to get you anywhere. We're supposed to go after the Father.
Well, and the truth of the matter is, Aaron told me I say that all the time. So the other day, this is a segue too. The other day he called me and I said that apparently, and he said, well, don't lie to me. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he just pointed that out. But apparently we all have catchphrases that we use. So,
but that wasn't, the catchphrase is, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I say both then, I guess.
Yeah, and you kept saying, I'm not going to lie to, you were telling me, she was telling me something, kept saying, she had said, I'm not going to lie like three times. And then she said, oh, I got to tell you something else. I said, whatever you do, don't lie to me.
Well, so the truth of the matter is, and I'm not going to lie, what is heaven without the Father anyway? Right? So if all our goal is heaven, but we're not going after the Father, that's where loneliness really comes from. And it seems like the world, I mean, the enemy knows this. I mean, because if you look throughout the world, there's so many people who deal with kind of like orphan anxiety and the orphan spirit, not having a real relationship with the Father. I mean, the enemy knows this, how important having a relationship with Father God is. But for some reason, those of us in the church, we've missed it. And it's important that we find that again, because relationship is everything. And if relationship is our motivation, our choices will completely change. The pathway to holiness, it's like, I mean, I know that Aaron isn't Jesus, but when the relationship I have with him is not hard. The choices that I make for him, to sacrifice for him, they're easy, because my priority is relationship. And this is just an earthly relationship. This is not a relationship with the Father. The Father on his side of relationship is perfect. So it's really on our side. And our motivation, if our motivation is relationship, then the hard things will start to become easy. And that's what the goal is. So in Ephesians 1:3-6, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he's made us accepted in the beloved. So in verse 6, where it says accepted, that's the same Greek word translated highly favored in Luke, when the angel appears before Mary and tells her how highly favored she is for carrying the Christ. So if we were to read this scripture and just plug that in, so to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he has made us highly favored in the beloved. We are highly favored. We have the living Christ in us. Mary was a carrier of Christ, but he never leaves us. He's always there. Just like the woman chosen to give birth to Christ was accepted and highly favored, so are we. And it's time that we start living that way.
And when Saul was converted, Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now notice, he didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? He said, why are you persecuting me? Because Jesus becomes one with every believer. That's the way it is for us when we accept Christ. Like Heather was just saying, we're carrying the presence of Christ everywhere we go at all times. See, God loves you as much as he loves any other Christian. Anything or any thought that tells you anything otherwise is from the enemy. Mm-hmm. It's just not from God. You are the apple of his eye. Now, a lot of people have a hard time accepting that. So I want to read John 16:27 and just look at the first part of this. For the Father himself loves you. Some people, that you could just meditate all week on that and it would change your life. Because so many people just have a hard time accepting that fact that the Father himself loves you. It's just got extra emphasis there for us to take it in. Not just, oh, the Father loves you. The Father The Father himself loves you, not because of anything else. In himself, he loves you that much. It's just a fact, and we need to accept it as the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is from the Passion Translation, it says, "For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him." So we need to believe the whole verse. We believe that Jesus paid the price. We talk about how Jesus paid the price for our sins, but we also need to believe that we've been made righteous. It all goes together. In John 3:16, everyone probably knows this one, "But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And many of you in here can quote that scripture, maybe even from a couple translations. But probably, if we're being honest, we don't live the whole scripture. We just live it to the part that says, "We'll not perish." That's all we're worried about. Like Heather said, it's this heaven or hell. That's all we're thinking about. So we're just like, "My sins are forgiven. Now I'm not going to perish. I'm not going to perish in hell because my sins are forgiven." And we just assume eternal life just means eternity in heaven. That's why it says I'll have everlasting life. That's just talking about living in heaven one day. But see, Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, that eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus, his Son. So you can have eternal life right now. In fact, you do have eternal life right now if you've accepted Christ. It's there for you if you'll reach out and grab it. You can know the Father and you can know Jesus, his Son. It's always been about relationship with him. That's what it all comes back to every time.
Well, and the thing about if we believe, like what Aaron said in that previous scripture, if we believe in 2 Corinthians 5:20, or no, which one was it? The one before that.
The Father himself loves us.
Yes, the Father himself loves us. So if, like he said, if you meditate on that and you believe that truth, because the enemy from the very beginning tries to change what is truth to make us believe a lie. So if we believe, like if Heather believes that the Father himself loves me, and we know because scripture says that perfect love casts out fear, his love is perfect. If perfect love loves me, then if I am battling sickness, that's not going to make me question the love of God. If I am battling difficulty in finances, that's not going to make me question the love of God. If I'm battling, you know, a difficult relationship, I am not going to think, "God, I thought you loved me." Those things that's not going to make me question the love of God. If I believe that perfect love loves me, everything filters through that truth. And that's what's so important about us as believers. I mean, it's like, what kind of parent would you think that I am if you saw Hannah and Stephen question the love I have for them? I mean, you wouldn't think I'm much, right? If the ones who I'm supposed to love the most question that I love them, what kind of parent would you think I am? And we do that all the time. And that's the example we're setting for the world about the perfect one. The most unbelievable father there ever was. And we are supposed to be his son and daughter, right? That's growing up. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to have a good relationship with your parent. I mean, I've always had a very strong relationship with my mom. I mean, to the point where there would be people who would be like, "Man, I wish my relationship with my mom was like that. You know, I wish that, you know, my relationship with my daughter was like that." And I mean, I didn't really think much of it. I was just like, "Well, it is what it is. I'm sorry for you, but mine's good." But that's what it was like. They saw the relationship between my mother and I, and they wanted what they saw. And then I knew, because of that relationship, what I wanted my own relationship with my daughter to look like. That is the amazing thing. When a son and daughter of God has that relationship with him that people can see, and they can say, "I want what that is. What does it take to have that?" And then it creates more and more of like-minded and similar relationships, because relationship changes everything. Religion tries, but relationship does. That's the difference. So instead of all of our striving for perfection, what if we just use some of that effort and put it into relationship with the Father? Because what you behold, you become. I promise that holiness will happen if He is the goal. Holiness probably won't happen if He isn't. It's just going to take a lot of effort and frustration. But if He's the goal, holiness happens.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, we've forgotten that it's all about Him. And we constantly make it all about us, especially this generation now. We're some of the most self-centered people there are. Like, there's a lot of character flaws people have that you can trace it back to that. It'd be like, oh, that person, they're so full of pride. Well, a lot of that pride is just exposing that they're self-centered. Everything's about them. And if we keep making everything about us, it's not going to work. It's always been about Him. If all you do is talk about how great you are, then it's about you, and it's not going to work very well. And if all you do is talk about how bad things are for you now, or how bad you are as a person, some people like to do that too, but guess what? It's still all about you. Whether it's good talk or bad talk, all you're talking about is you. It's not going to work. So we need to start talking about Jesus, because we weren't called to be Pharisees. We were called to be lovers of God. And that takes relationship. And when we truly fall in love with God, things get so much easier. And many of the things that are difficult, they start, when you fall in love with God to that point, they start taking care of themselves. There's a story that I came across years ago about this woman. And she met this man and fell in love. They got married and everything. He just seems like the perfect guy. And they're on their honeymoon. And he gives her this note. And, you know, she thinks it's just probably some kind of note where he's declaring his love and devotion for her. And she says, oh, what's this? And he says, oh, it's just a list. She says, it's a list of what? He says, oh, it's just a list of things you should do to be a good wife. So, yeah, that wouldn't go over well in this day and time. But he gives her this list. He's like, this, you do these things, you'll be a good wife. And so she's reading the list, and
Mommy, come to me right now.
So she's reading the list, and she starts making it her goal every day to get the stuff done on the list. The problem is she can never do it. She never gets the list completed. Every day she falls short, and so her whole time married with this man, and he wasn't a bad man. This was just his expectations. And he didn't mistreat her. It was just, this is the list. So she would just feel like she was not, didn't measure up, like she was felt shame. She felt all these different feelings constantly, their entire marriage. And one day, hopefully not because of her, he passed away. I don't know what happened. Yeah, they found that list. But he passes away tragically. And she's thinking, I'm never going to get married again. That list, it's not going to happen. But another gentleman sweeps her off her feet, and she falls in love, and they get married. This guy treats her like a queen. He just can't get enough of her. She's just the best thing ever to him, and he just makes over her and all this stuff. And they've been married now for about 3 or 4 years. And she's going through some things, cleaning out her drawers or something, like Heather likes to clean out the closet. But she's cleaning out the drawers, and she sees there's something stuck. You know how something gets stuck back in behind the drawer somehow? And she pulls it out, and it's the list.
I would have burned that thing. That would've been any drawers.
But she finds the list, and so now she immediately, her heart starts beating a little faster. She's sweating, and she starts feeling fear, and she starts feeling anxiety, and she starts feeling shame. All those feelings are coming over her again. And so I have no clue why she decides to read the list. And so she starts reading the list, And when she's getting down to the bottom of the list, now she's laughing because she realizes that everything on the list she's already doing. Because see, all that had changed is that this relationship was built on love, not expectations. And that's what happens with religion. Religion is all about what it's all about you and what it can get from you. But God, it's all about love. They talked about it. One of the songs was talking about the foundation built on love this morning, it seems like, when they were singing. And that's really what it's all about. The same list that she could never measure up to and was causing her all these problems, now it's getting taken care of and she's not even trying. That's what we're talking about. When you fall in love with God, to all of a sudden the things that the enemy's been beating you up over, that you've been beating yourself up over, they just start to take care of themselves. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's good. It brought to mind something that really impacted me because usually my first call is either Aaron or my mom when something happens. Usually Aaron, because, you know, it just is. And so that scripture where it says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There was someone who was preaching the sermon and he actually had one of those yoke that they put on those oxen. It's that big old wooden thing. And if the person we are yoked to, like our first priority, our first relationship is anyone other than the Father, we're going to get tired. That's where we're going to have that heavy burden, where we're going to feel heavy laden, because the relationship with Him, because He shoulders the weight. I mean, that's how good He is. But if our relationship, if He is our priority, everything else will flow from that one relationship. If anyone else is put in that superior position other than Him, it'll be flawed. We will be weary. We will be heavy laden. And I mean, I just can't stop going back to relationship changes everything. And we are making things harder than it has to be. And sometimes in relationship, it's not about what we're feeling. It's like what Aaron spoke about last Sunday. If we keep feeding the flesh, then the other side, like the flesh is all about feelings. And relationship is not all about feelings. And so even if you don't feel a certain way in a certain situation, it's important what we believe. It's important what we're feeding in our mind, loving Him with our mind, like you said.
Jonathan, can you look up another scripture for me? Since Jill read this one, I'll take it to John chapter 14, 1 through 6. And we'll end on this, but going back to, it's supposed to be about going after the Father. It's not, we make, those other things are going to happen. Heaven is a real place. All these different things, you know, signs and wonders are amazing, and they're going to happen. They're supposed to follow us, but as we follow Him, we're supposed to be going after someone here. And so I want to read these six verses right quick and show you something that we were watching a message, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
And they brought this out, and I had never seen it before. So I'll just read it from there. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. All right, so go back to that one. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Okay? All right? Now, then Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And he just said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas is telling him, no, we don't. All right? Verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we quote that scripture all the time, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So the question is, what is He the way to?
Jesus.
If we're following Christ, where is he going? What's taking place? And the first response as a good Christian who's been in church 20 or 30 years, oh, heaven. But that's not what he said. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to where?
The Father.
The Father, except through me. It's always been about going after the Father through Christ. Jesus is the way. He's the way to the Father. And like Heather said, without the Father, it's not heaven. So with the Father, it doesn't matter where we're at. We're experiencing eternal life. But so many times we're going after heaven. We're going after an anointing. We're going after a higher level. We're going after whatever the catchphrase for that generation is. And we forget all about the Father. And Jesus is the way to the Father. And so we just want to leave that with you this morning and encourage you that you are awesome. The born again you, start feeding that person. Start feeding your spirit man. Start going after the Father. Start loving God with your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Be intentional with the things that you're doing in life and the things that you're letting influence the way that you think and the way that you live, because it's all about relationship with the Father. Lord, we just thank you. God, we thank you for relationship. We thank you that you're not far from us, God. We thank you that you're even running us down like we sang about last week, God. We thank you that you're a good Father, Lord, that you desire our company, that you desire our presence, Lord. Lord, help us to have a desire for yours. Help us to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, God. Lord, help us not to allow the enemy to trip us up and to cause us to be disconnected in any way, God. Help us to be intentional as we pursue you. Lord, not just your kingdom, Lord, not just your miracles, not just your blessings, God, that we pursue you with all that we are. God, we just so are thankful to have you as our Father. Lord, we pray for every person in here, God, that that would just become a reality like never before in our lives. God, that it was always all about you. And Lord, I pray for every need in the house. We pray for those that are traveling back from Tennessee now, Lord, that you would be with them and keep them safe and give them favor. Lord, we pray for Barbara right now, that you would touch her body, God. And we pray for Alan. God, we pray that you would bless that entire family. Lord, whatever the need is, God, that you would meet that need. And God, we just ask for every person here, God, that we would just have a hunger for you like never before, God, because we know that you said you would, for all those that seek and all those that ask and all those that knock, God, that you're going to give it to us. God, you're such a good Father, and we just thank you again. And in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We are so happy that you joined us today. If you are interested in learning about or giving to this ministry, you can find more information at SaponaRoadChurch.com. If you are local to the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, our meeting times are 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesdays for our Connect groups. From all of us here at Sapona Road Church, we hope that you have a great day as you walk in the Lord's favor and blessing.